This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair with this week's edition of Creative Impact. It's a weekly series in which we focus on the impact of the arts and creative sector on our lives, in our community. Our guests, well, you'll find them to be the driving forces that make Washtenaw County one of Michigan's strongest and most vibrant arts and creative industry hubs. The Arts Alliance is our content partner in this endeavor, and the president and CEO of that organization is none other than Deb Pollock, who serves as my co-host for Creative Impact. And good to see you, Deb.
Hey, it's always great to be in the studio with you, David, and especially when we've got music in the background. And,
exactly right.
I think our show's going to appeal to longtime listeners and new listeners of WEMU, and we're talking music today, America's original style of popular music, with someone who most likely is familiar to many of our listeners, William Pemberton. He's the founder and executive director of the River Raisin Ragtime Review.
Indeed, familiar to our on-air hosts, our listeners, and welcome to the show, William.
Well, thank you both for having me on Creative Impact.
For those listeners, William, that are less familiar with the River Raisin Ragtime Review, give us a short introduction. Who are you and what exactly is it that you do? We just heard a bit of it.
Oh, sure. Well, the River Raisin Ragtime Review, or R4 as we're known by many of our fans, is, to my knowledge, one of only three active professional ragtime orchestras in the country. And we came together as an ensemble in 2002, and our mission is to educate and entertain audiences through performance and preservation of America's original style of popular music. So we present live concerts, we've recorded numerous critically acclaimed CDs, and we maintain a substantial archive of ragtime and early jazz and blues orchestrations.
And you put on the full performance as well. It's not just a musical presentation, but there's dancing and there is a whole presentation that gives you a sense and a feel for the era.
There sure is. Yeah, we do an annual ragtime extravaganza, which we've had at the Michigan Theater, and we're going to be also presenting it at the Arc this coming year. We partner with groups like Greenfield Village and the Henry Ford, so people get the full experience.
So, yeah, we could spend, like, the whole show talking about that, but something really...
And we'll have to do that sometime.
Exactly, absolutely. But today we really want to talk about this opportunity that kind of fell your way. You've been gifted this collection, this music collection, preservation collection, or actually it's, you're going to preserve it, by Dr. Carl Koenig. And I'm going to have to admit that I've never heard of Dr. Carl Koenig. Who is he?
Well, Dr. Carl Koenig is an 86-year-old historian, band leader, and educator who lived many years in New Orleans, where he researched and documented the early society bands and orchestras that would transition into jazz and blues. And he published several jazz histories. He also published a jazz walking guide of New Orleans. And he started a website, BasinStreet.com, which still provides much early ragtime and jazz history to those that are interested in following this music.
So he has this amazing collection. How is it that you two came together?
Well, that's in my never-ending search for period orchestrations for our group to recreate, I came across Dr. Koenig's website. And over the years, he's been really kind in sharing numerous orchestrations with R4, and some of which we've actually recorded on CDs. And I should say, as with most collectors that I work with, you know, you meet these people through conversations via email. So I had no idea of Dr. Koenig's age or his personal situation these past years.
So you guys met by email and all that stuff, and how did that end up leading to his gifting you this collection?
Well, I contacted him for some music that we need for upcoming projects, and he told me that, yeah, he'd be happy to send out some copies of the orchestrations I was looking for, and then I never heard from him, and I tried contacting him several times. I finally heard from an assistant that he was in quite poor health. He had been in five different hospitals.
Oh, dear.
And I honestly suspected that I probably wouldn't hear from Dr. Koenig again. Well, several months passed, and I got a call from Dr. Koenig, and he said that he was finally feeling good enough to be out of the hospital. He was in a nursing home in California, and that he hadn't forgotten me. He still wanted to get me those copies, but he said he had a bigger question. He was concerned about his collection of music. He didn't have a local university to take it. And he wanted to know if the River Raisin Ragtime Review would be willing to accept it and preserve it.
This is kind of a relationship born of serendipity, isn't
it? It sure is, yeah. It's amazing how things can work out unexpectedly and yet fortuitously.
You're listening to Creative Impact on 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair alongside Deb Pollock from the Arts Alliance, and our guest, the other voice you hear this morning, is William Pemberton. He is executive director of the River Raisin Ragtime Review, and he recently was gifted an important collection of early American popular music, orchestrations, histories, records, books, and instruments by Dr. Carl Koenig.
So you obviously said yes, and the collection is now in your possession. So what are you finding?
Well, honestly, we're still finding out what's in the collection as we sift through about 100 boxes that are filling up a large classroom right now. And the most exciting items for us so far are just hundreds of orchestrations from the ragtime and early jazz and blues eras, specifically with a concentration on New Orleans. But the collection also includes Dr. Koenig's extensive library of blues, jazz, and ragtime histories, as well as his personal notes, documents for his historical research. So every box that we open up, we're finding new things. And it's also a little bit challenging because Dr. Koenig, you know, lived an hour away in an assisted living community. He was able to make the trip up to help the movers, but he couldn't really help them pack. And so he had them just pack up anything that remotely had to do with music. And so there are things he told us, you know, via phone conversation. He says, there are things that are not going to be worth keeping. He says, but I just couldn't tell what was in each of the stacks.
And what, so you know, for really certain is there are treasures in there. You just may have to dig a little bit, right?
Yeah.
It might be buried.
It's quite a process, but it's worthwhile. Yeah.
So what is going to happen with this collection? Is it going to be for public view, or is it more for scholarly or musicians' use? You know, we had Mark Clegg, a musicologist, on Creative Impact a while back, and I think he would be really interested in having a look at what you have.
Well, it's great that you mentioned Dr. Mark Clegg, as he was one of the first resources that I contacted when I found out about this collection. We plan on needing help of student interns to help catalog our growing archive, and he's pledged support from the University of Michigan. He also immediately helped us helped support us with a grant application that we've already submitted for financial support of maintaining this project. And regarding your question of public access, a good amount of this history of the Koenig collection is actually available to the public via his website, basinstreet.com. Obviously, there'll be a lot of it. It will be more for scholarly work and for the River Raisin Ragtime Review to recreate through live performance.
So that actually leads to my question as we're winding up here. River Raisin Ragtime Review has preserved this music mainly by keeping it alive through performance and presentation. Do you have any idea how the collection might influence your future plans and programs?
Oh, it's already immediately impacting it. One of our next big shows is this summer at the Arc, August 10th. We have a program, The Music of New Orleans, with guest artist Evan Christopher on clarinet and Tom McDermott on piano from New Orleans. And we're already finding rare treasures of early New Orleans pieces, early cakewalks, music of Clarence Williams, who was the pianist for Bessie Smith, some pieces he wrote in New Orleans as a young man. The New Orleans Creole musician, Lauren Dubuclet, things that just people don't normally get to hear. And that concert will be a tribute to James DePogne, by the way, too.
Oh, great.
So that's going to be great. And then trombone pieces for our next trombone feature CD. He's got music of Arthur Pryor, Sousa's trombonist. So just tons of stuff that we're already putting into play.
So I have to say, how often when you are going through these boxes and you are seeing these documents and these orchestrations, do you have to stop and pick up your tuba?
Well, it's funny. Tuba is my primary instrument, so often I go to the collection, I bring an armful of orchestrations under my arm, and I sit down and I play through the melodies, they get played right away.
Gosh, wow, what a story. Serendipity and creativity impacting our community. William, keep us posted, and thanks so much for joining us on Creative Impact.
Thanks again for having me.
We most certainly enjoyed the time, and we'll look forward to the next conversation. That is William Pemberton, the executive director of the River Raisin Ragtime Review, who recently was gifted an important collection of early American popular music, orchestrations, histories, records, books, and instruments by Dr. Carl Koenig. And Deb Pollack is the co-host of Creative Impact. She stops by every Tuesday, and she's the president and CEO of the Arts Alliance, and we'll look forward to our next visit.
I'll be here next week.
I'm David Fair, and you are listening to Creative Impact. It is a regular Tuesday feature exclusively on 89.1 WEMU FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.